Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians in the second chapter. We read our text this morning from verses 1 through 11. Verses 5 through 11 ground what verses 1 through 4 and then the verses following 11 are talking about. We're just going to go ahead and read the verses 1 through 4 now. If you would stand for the reading of the Word, and you could call this a graduation message or a Memorial Day message, or really a bridge from 2 Peter 1:6 into 2 Peter 1:7. There's many things. It's universally applicable, and I think it will help you and maybe make you think about some things here. And the good thing about this text is, and what we're going to talk about today, is that no matter how people have limited you, no matter how old you are, or good or bad health you are in, or the opportunities you've missed or the opportunities you've made, all of these things don't change this thing. We'll call today's message, Take the Focus Off Yourself. Take the focus off yourself. Philippians 2, verse 1 through 4. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Father, would you help us by your Spirit take the focus off ourselves and look upon Jesus our Lord, turning our eyes upon what He would have us to do, that we might reach for the real goal and thereby hit our real potential. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Every year around graduation time, and really all the time, you hear people talk about reaching your potential and fulfilling your dreams and having great goals for your life. If you were around any of the four high schoolers, you know, they're graduating, they're sometimes in our midst in the ceremonies, or someone's graduating, you know, from the military or college or whatever else it is, there's always a lot of talk about that. You know, we're going to be the class that does this, go for the glory, and all these other things. And I'm not saying that's bad at all. There's a lot of encouragement, there's a lot of excitement and exhortation going on, and it's all about you. Right? Remember this time. Remember this. And, you know, now we're going to go conquer and this, that. And you can be whatever you want to be. Of course, that's not true, because at 5'2", I'm not going to be playing in the NBA. But that's the thing. Who's going to set the standards for what goals you're going to go after? And see, a lot of people already know what they want when they're 18 or whether they're 80. While others haven't yet discovered what their passion is. We talked a little bit about that last week. But some people will fulfill their potential and others won't even come close. And there's many possibilities between those two extremes. And you could think of a lot of issues where, well, what about this area? I'm hitting my potential here. My corn's growing good, but my potatoes are sorry. Or whatever else it may be. You see, we all want to get the most out of life. This isn't just a young person's game or a young person's concern. We might be 35 or 37 or 38, I forgot how old you are, and wanting our business to do as best we can. Well, yeah. What's our potential? How many people live here? How many visitors come here? This is how many kayaks we can rent, you know? Or if I lose this much weight, I'm going to go on this thing, and so I know I'm going to lose more than everybody else, so I'm going to make the wager higher because then it'll be a better cruise for me. We think, my potential is to do this in school. My potential is to do this. Everybody's afraid I'm going to walk up to them and use your example. Relax, I'm on your side. Because I'm going to talk to you about something today where everybody else wants to put you down and say you haven't fulfilled your potential, and I'm going to say, in the most important thing, you can. But as you age or lose your health or you mess up a few things, amen, it happens, you may have less quote-unquote potential than you used to. Again, I understand when people are entering new scenes of life, passing through a threshold of out of high school, I'm finally done with school, then you realize I'm just getting started with school. And then you finally get out and you even reach a terminal degree, you have your PhD, and you realize you still have things to learn. At least I hope you think you know that. But let me ask you a question. So, are you, and I don't mean the high school, just the high schoolers, 30-somethings, I mean 80-somethings. And if our friend was still here, the 103-somethings. Are you going to reach your potential? Now, when I hear something like that, I immediately ask, well, what exactly is my potential? Not my potential in something. What do you mean, your potential? How does anybody actually quantify or qualify that? How does that really happen? Well, a lot of it depends on who sets your standards. I mean, if you're a famous model and your boyfriend's a famous model and you're jet-setting all over the world and showing up on Instagram and Snapchat and all these things showing, you know, we're here in Brazil, we're here in Monaco, we're here there, and I'm half naked and we're jumping around and we're enjoying life and we're all this. You show what you care about. I'm not mad at you. But you show, you know, I'm reaching my potential. This is what my potential is. It's about how I look and get twice that age, little Missy, and guess what's going to happen? Well, 3-4 times that age, you know. But you know what I'm saying? Depends on who's going to define who you are. Now, you could immediately say, I'll define who I am. You can't tell me what to do. Well, just hold on a second. Because if you're out there watching this, that, and the other thing, and you start looking like this or doing this, you are letting things define you. I'm not saying be such a rebel that you're like nobody else. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what God is saying in this passage to you. The point is, there's a lot of ways to think about your potential. And many ways to measure it. You can think about potential in terms of your educational goals, your financial situation, your physical or social abilities, or some other sort of achievement-based aspiration or goal. I want to fulfill my potential with my brain, and my IQ is this, and the doctors tell me this, and so I want to achieve this degree, or whatever it may be. I remember when I was just turned 9 years old, and the doctor said my bones were that of a 3-year-old. And so they took me to Shands Hospital to see what was wrong with me, because I was, if you think I'm small now, I was very, very small. And perhaps frail, I don't know. I wasn't thinking in terms of that. It didn't bother me. When I got to middle school and the kids really started beating up on me, well, then that was different. But, of course, my mom's like 4'10", so I know I was short. I mean, what is that? So I always thought there was some mysterious purpose behind them sending me there. But the fact is they wanted to see how far I might go. They were going to give me some human growth hormone shots to see if they could get me a little bigger. And they figured out, well, no matter what they do, I'm only going to get so far. And if they did it right now, my bones couldn't handle it, and it would, you know, I'd crush me. The point is... even then, when people try to sell a world of you have to be this tall to be this potential, like a leader or whatever else it may be, well, then you have life already putting you down, saying your potential is less. Or if you have a certain weight, or you're a certain age, or you're a certain smart or not smart, or a certain look, or a certain gender, right? There's all types of things that limit your potential. And so we lose hope and we lose desire and drive because we really wanted to do this. And we realize, I mean, how many people have I known? I'm going to be a doctor. And by the time they get to about 11th or 12th grade, they realize, I'm not doing calculus. I think maybe I'll be this. Or I'm going to be this. And then, well, now sometimes people have the potential, sometimes people don't. But has anybody ever had in here been let down? You felt like life is just giving you... not so much a bowl of cherries, but like Charlie Brown on Halloween, I got a rock. And then other people don't, and you're jealous or whatever else it is. But let me ask you this. Does anyone actually reach their full potential in any one area, let alone every area of their life? Believe me, you can find the people that look like they're jet-setting and happy like the person I mentioned before, and behind it all, they may have an eating disorder. They may may not have a good family situation. If they have everything great, well, good for them. Praise the Lord. But I got to tell you, has anybody ever, besides Christ, reached their full potential in any area, let alone every area? Well, of course not. But does that mean you shouldn't try? Of course not. You should listen. I can tell you that. You see, you still try. Everybody in here, I'm saying things you already agree with. Everybody knows that meeting your full potential, the more you meet your full potential, the more fulfilling your life is, or so it would seem. I know that I could do this, and if I just get the chance to do this, and if I just allowed to do this, and I just meet this, then, right, then that's what's going to fulfill me. But again, there's a lot of things that are going to keep you from reaching your highest potential in any area. A lack of discipline? Hello. A lack of education? A lack of opportunity? These and many other things can hamper your success. And there's lots of people that can limit you in lots of ways through no fault of your own. You're not big enough to play football at this school, son. That never happened to me because I knew better. But you know, I had a lot of friends in high school, and then you get to college, and you know, Division I A, it's like, well, you know, you're not doing it. Of course, there's people that break the mold and all these things, but you get it. There's always people that want to limit your potential. So, you know, at graduation and other things, go for it. Don't let anybody else tell you to do it. Or they enter the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We did it our way and all these type of things. What does this have to do with Christianity? A whole lot. It's a bedrock thing that I want to get you to. But, you know, you add to what all the other people say and what you think about yourself and all the self-destructive behaviors and beliefs and addictions and anxieties and functional disorders that cripple your development. You may be limiting your own potential more than you know, and you're always left wondering, why is my life so unfulfilled? Now, I'm nailing everybody in here right then. I know you've had that thought. Everybody's had that thought, and some of you have it all the time because you tell me all the time about it. Well, I've got good news for you. There is one area that most people don't think about in terms of reaching their potential. But it's the one area where you can see the most growth, where you can give and receive the most benefit, and the ceiling on this thing is unlimited. And what if I told you that your age, yes, your age, your health, your wealth, your education, your experience, or your skill set in any other area doesn't limit your potential in this area? And that reaching your potential in this area will be more fulfilling to you and more pleasing to God than any other. Does that sound too good to be true? Yeah, probably. But it is that good, and it's all true. But it isn't even a goal for most people. And most people don't even know what their potential in this area even is. Yet this one area is the greatest area according to Jesus. And unlike all the other types of potential you may be reaching for, to achieve your potential in this area requires you to take the focus off yourself. In this area, only when you stop focusing on yourself can you reach your true and full potential. Let me turn, or you can turn with me, to Matthew 22. I'll show you this, and you know it. You've read it. I've used this verse many times in sermons. Verses 37 through 40, but maybe you hadn't thought about it the way we're looking at it today. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Verse 36, teacher, what's the great commandment in the law? They're asking Jesus, what's the most important thing? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and other versions say, all other passages of your strength. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. That's everything. That's what he means. It's all hanging on this. So what am I talking about? What potential am I talking about? I'm talking about your potential for loving other people. This is your highest call. And this is the area of your highest potential. When you focus on loving, serving, and believing in others, because you believe in God, I'm watching those two together, so many of your problems are going to disappear. And the benefit will be a more fulfilling life. This is true. Why? Because in loving God, by loving and serving others, you are fulfilling the prime purpose God has for you. I want to find the purpose God has for me in life. I can tell you what it is right now. It's loving Him with all that you got and loving other people because of that. You're reaching for your highest potential, which is to love others as yourself. That's your highest potential. When you love others as yourself, Jesus said so. And you reach that. It occurs as you reach for the highest goal, which is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let me say it this way. when you reach for your highest goal, you will fulfill your highest potential. If your goal is just, I'm going to, you know, jump 5 feet, and you've jumped 5 feet and that's it, well, then that's that. But if your goal is to jump 10 feet, you're going to jump 7 feet or 8 feet, not just 5 feet. Do you get my point? The higher conception of God, the more right your God is, you're right? God's better than Thor or Vishnu or anything else you can make up. The higher your goal, the more you'll fulfill your potential. Now, that is true in any endeavor, but it is especially true for the godly endeavor. The goal is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. No, you will not do that perfectly. But your potential in that is to love others as yourself. And as you're aiming for the one goal, you're fulfilling more of your potential in God's primary purpose for you. Do you hear me? Now, let me continue to spur you on here. And I'm going to give you something very specific to show you how to do it. Yeah. Because relationships are complex. What I've got for you and what this truth is very simple. Love me. Listen to me now. In this area, every Christian has the same potential. And it only helps you when others reach their full potential too. And in most endeavors, if you want to get ahead, you got to reach as high as you can and hope others don't do as well as you. If everyone reached their full potential, you might not do as well. Any business, anything. If you do as good as you can, everybody else does as good as they can, right? You're not going to do as well as you could if they didn't. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? If everybody jumped as far and as high as they could, well, then it just sorts out. But if you jump as far as you could and they didn't, then you do better, right? I mean, the guy that finishes 20th in the Olympics this year was beat first for the first 20 years of the Olympics. You get my point? I hope you get. Does anybody get my point? All right. If everybody reached their full potential, you wouldn't do so well. But not so with the Christian love potential. The more people reach their potential, the greater it is for everybody. It's the greatest, most wonderful, and fulfilling thing. We just don't believe it because we have unbelief about what God says is our most important thing. I'm not saying you don't go for those other things. I'm saying those other things will be done in a godly way, in a way that will more fulfill you if you're born again than any other thing, and you just have to walk in that and to know that. Now, Philippians 2, 1 through 4 shows you what it's like when you love somebody. Again, if there's any encouragement there, see, you already know this. You already have people that you love. Amen? You listen to what they have to say. You give them the benefit of the doubt. You want them to prosper and to succeed, to be happy, to be healthy, and to be fulfilled. You treat them special. They know you're on their side. You see the best in them, and you want the best for them. Is that you for anybody in the world right now? If it's not, my goodness, let's find somebody. They need you. You laugh with them, you play with them, you dream with them. I'm going this afternoon to see my nephew and my sister-in-law and my brother and the family and extended family and grandmas and aunts, and I don't know how many people are going to be there. And we're doing some celebration, and yes, I probably might eat some red meat, hopefully, if there's some there, and all of that. But we know one thing. We're there to celebrate certain people and certain things. We're all on the same. We might have different things. There are some divorced people there that used to be married to this person that will be there and stuff like that. But right then, we're supporting my nephew, right? We're on the same side. Did you realize the book of Philippians is all about that? If you look at chapter 4, he says in chapter 2, and he leads it up and then grounds it in Christ, and then he talks about all these things, and then he says, look, agree together in the Lord because we're all in the book of life. Can you hear me? Again, Philippians 2, 1 through 4 shows you what it's like when you love somebody. You encourage them. You sympathize with them. Doesn't mean everybody has to be as close as everybody else. Don't take that wrong. Even Jesus had Peter, James, and John among the disciples, right? I'm not saying don't make anybody special. What it does mean is that you want them to know that you love them. You may have been coming here 13 years, as long as I've been here. You may have been coming here 13 minutes. But I want you to know that I what happens to you matters to me. When you love somebody, they know that you're on their side. When we did our exercise this morning, that was my point, is everybody else was going to be over here and I was going to be right next to you. That's why you had to get out of the way. Because when there's nobody else, my best friend is sitting right there. You know what I'm saying? In case you didn't know, I'm very proud of it. So Paul's here just giving you evidence of what you already know. Does everybody know what we're talking about already?
Yes.
Yeah. You know it to be true already. You already see and treat some people this way. God just wants you to expand your circle and to see people in a certain way first before you go into disagreements with them, before you pick on what they don't have. You see what they do have. It doesn't mean you don't get into arguments or things like that. It means, whose side are you on? When you're playing football and you got 11 on this side and 11 on the other side, you know, the guy might fumble the football, do whatever, but the next play you don't tackle him, right? You don't tackle the guy on your own team, right? You try to block for him. You may take a play off. You don't do as well. He doesn't do as well, whatever, but you're still wearing the same jersey. You're still on the same team. And people, do people know that about you with other Christians in this building even? Or that aren't here today? They're not here today, and yes, I'm discouraged, and I'm upset, and I think, oh, you're just not sticking with it, and you, if you unplug yourself, you don't have power, and all these other things, but I'm ready to help them put the cord back in. Get mixing together again. I've got to be reminded of that, too. I'm preaching to myself here. Notice what Paul says in verse 1. If there is any encouragement in Christ, that's beautiful, encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, duh. Oh, there's no comfort in love. Any comfort from love, and he's using hyperbole, and he's using rhetoric here. Any participation, that's koinonia, that means fellowship. And we are Riverside Christian Fellowship. We're fellowshipping around the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, worshiping the one true God. There is fellowship there. That's why you're here this morning, I hope, is to worship God. And here's what he says. If there is any affection and sympathy. Again, he says that these things are a given. You do have them already. And what he says in verses 2 to 4 is how you think when you act, think and act when you really love somebody. What does he say? There's joy there. There's unity there. There's a commonality of love there. There's the same goals. There's the same purpose. You put away yourself and you focus on others. And there's humility there. And there is honoring there. I just gave you the whole thing right there. And that's what you do for your kids. That's what you do, hopefully, for your parents. I'm sorry if they weren't good parents, but that's what you do for people that you love. Right? You're going that extra mile for them. Why? Because you're with them on the whole journey. Right? You try to empathize with them. That doesn't mean you don't get a little mad or they can't annoy you. They annoy you more than other people do because you love them. Because what they do annoys you, but because also that's the way God made it. You ever know that? I always tell married couples that, you know, marriage takes everything you are, multiplies it, and makes someone else live with it. Yeah. Oh, we've never, telling counseling, oh, we've never had a fight. Well, you're gonna, and God wants you to. Because he wants to see you working with somebody and working that thing out. Then you know you got someone you can be in the trenches with. Someone that's just on the surface. And, oh, everything's all happy, happy, happy. Man, that person's not going to, they're going to fly when the battle comes. I want friends and family that are battle tested. I pray that I'm that for you. Again. Verses 2 to 4, we could go through that again, but that's how you act when you really love somebody. And instead of honing in on every specific thing he says here, just realize it's all connected by your love for somebody. This is how you treat those you feel an affection for those you have a bond with, for those whom it matters to you what happens to them, and that is what you have in Christ. Do you hear me? I'm almost done already. I just want to hit you with one single thought today and one single technique you can use in your brain to help you get this in your heart. I want to help you reach your potential in the area that has the highest potential. And as a Christian, you have a greater potential than you may realize. God has created you to reach for the highest, fullest, most fulfilling potential, and that is your love potential. I'm not saying you shouldn't reach for those other goals that you may have. I'm saying you'll fulfill those goals in a godly way and to a greater degree if you'll reach for the higher goal first. The higher the goal you reach for, the greater potential you'll fulfill. Do you get me on that? If your goal is calculus, you may hit it. But if your goal is differential equations, right, which is further than calculus, calculus 1, 2, 3, differential, you see what I'm saying? Math, you know what I'm saying? You get it. This is just simple math I'm going to give you today. Again, the higher the goal you reach for, the greater potential you fulfill. What is the highest goal? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What is your greatest potential? To love your neighbor as yourself. You say, yes, that's a lot. That's a lot. See what it looks like? You already know. You already have it inside of you for other people. Then God puts his love inside of you, so you do have it for God. You just got to let that thing flourish. Now, how can you do that? You say, I love your glory, your God with all your heart, soul, mind. I can't even come close to that. Yes, that's true. But you can begin to do that by loving other people. You say, well, that's still sort of esoteric. That's amorphous. I don't get it. I'm going to show you something about this. But hear me. I am for you. I am for you. I am for you. Hey, look up this. Look up here. I'm for you. I'm for you. I am for you. I was for you when you wore that little cute little dress that we bought you. And I'm for you now that you're 13 years old. And I'll be for you when you're 31 years old. And if I'm still alive, I'll be for you when you're 51 years old. I'll be for you when you're Miss America. I'll be for you no matter what happens. I'll be for you if you fulfill your pirate dreams and if you don't. I'll be for you if that pain never goes away. I'll be there for you when it does. I'm for you. I am on your side. Isn't that what you want to know from your pastor? Isn't that what you want to know from your friends? They're on your side. Then you can tell them, you know, hey, I had this thought today. I was doing this thing today, you know, or, you know, I was so tempted to do this, or, man, I can only tell you these things, right? If everybody else knew, they would run or not. But you get my point. That's what you want. You're a good person, and it makes me feel guilty. If I have guilt on me, I can't talk to you. But I talked to you this morning, so I must not have had any guilt on me, so it's cool. Yeah, it's okay. See, that's the point. Because I can be talking in circles or talking above you, and I could be talking about, you know, variegated monism or whatever, you know, and all these things and speaking this, that, and the other thing. But what you really want to know is, am I on your side? If I find some bread, am I going to help you eat the bread? Right? If I'm down there with a cut, are you going to kiss my boo-boo? Right? That's what we want to know. That's what you have with people. Right? That's what you want with people. That's the point I'm trying to make, that I'm on your side, and the point I want you to make with others. And right now, I want to help you to understand that, to feel that, and to learn to spread that. In that way, you're going to start to reach your full potential in the most important area. In the area Jesus says in most important. Did we see that? It's very clear in the Matthew text. Very clear. Yes, life is complex. Yes, people are complex. And relationships with people can be very complex. And they can change over time. But I want to give you a simple way to look at people who claim the name of Christ that will help you. I'm not actually excluding other people. But I'm saying you've got to start somewhere. If you can start with this mindset, it's going to help to temper you from that prideful need to be seen as good, to be seen as strong, or somebody important. And it'll help you to keep your need to be right and control everything in check. It will keep the focus off yourself. You heard it this way, Jesus, others, you, that's joy, right?
Yes.
So let me help you. I want you to see the truth by asking you a simple question, and we already did it this morning before we came on air. Are you on the Lord's side? If you are, then we are on the same side. And that means I'm on your side. I'm not against you. I'm for you. I'm not against the people that come in here that are dealing with all sorts of sin. I'm for them. God is not against you for your sin. He's for you against your sin. Can you see the power of that? If you would just have that in your mindset, And so the first thing I see that people already know you don't agree with the But instead of talking about the which is coming from your head, start thinking in your heart about who they are in Christ and then work on that. That's what you see in Philippians 4. He says, look, tell Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord and get them together with Clement and all these other people that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's when he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. It's in the context of people not agreeing. But before you start arguing, let's say, okay, let's clear the air first. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe you believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe I believe in Jesus Christ? Okay, let's start there. Let's start there. But before you even say that to somebody, think that. When you're out there and you see somebody not doing it, this is what Jesus said. He goes, he's not with us. Cast that guy. He goes, look, he's not against us. He's for us. There's a lot more people for Jesus. There's a lot of theological things I disagree with. Woohoo! Big time. And there are some people that call themselves Christians that aren't Christians. But let me ask you, are you a Christian? Are you on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Amen. Anybody? Raise your hands. Are you on the Lord's side? Amen. Well, that means we're on the same side. We're beginning on the same side. It's not my job to tackle you. It may not be my job to show you how to tackle. It's not my job to make you fumble. I may try to help you not to fumble. My job is to help you get across the finish line. And I know Jesus is already there, and I know he's pulling us there, and so we're all going to make it there. Amen? If you're on the Lord's side, we're on the same side, and that means I'm on your side. Yes, I might give you a weird look. Yes, you might be just interpreting it wrong and just, I ate something sour. But I'm on your side. Can you see that? Can you see the power of that? I hope you know that. And I pray that I'm going to show that. Yes, there's a lot of hard work and heartache out there, especially when it comes to relationships. But if you will start here, you're going to be starting in the right place. And it's always where you start. Now I need to get there because I know in our minds we're already going, stop the butt. Stop. Get the focus off yourself. Get the focus off your butt. That was funnier than that. Come on. Maybe I should change the title of that. Get the focus off your butt. But someone might say, well, they're not doing the Lord's will. I'm not on their side on this. They're not on the Lord's side here. I get that. Someone may not be doing the Lord's will in some ways, but are they on the Lord's side in the most important way? Before you focus on your differences, you need to see that if they're on the Lord's side, then you're on the same side. Now treat them that way. Treat people like you would if it's someone you actually cared about. If there is any love in the Spirit, if there is any comfort from that, if there is any affection and sympathy, if you are on the same team, because that's how you treat people on the same team. You might say, look, you need to put the ball in the point right here and hold it this way, then you won't drop it so much. Don't hold it like a loaf of bread, cradle the thing, or whatever you're saying, whatever sport you can think of, whatever you don't. You know what it is. I don't have to explain this to anybody. You know how you act around someone that you like. Huh? Treat them that way. Take the focus off yourself and put it on God and his people. Yes. Then you'll reach your godly potential. Yeah. Heavenly Father, sometimes what we need is a straight right hand to the jaw and just your word piercing into our hearts and dividing these thoughts and intents and discerning them and showing us where we fall short. But although all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we know that you save sinners. You rescue us from ourselves. Help us to turn our eyes from ourselves and to turn them on you, Jesus, others, and then ourselves. Jesus, others, you let us have that true joy and that affection. Those things that you've given us in Christ for one another, that love that you have in us, that you've placed in us, not only goes out to you, but to other people. Not that we agree with everything that we do, not that we're never going to disagree about anything, but that we can see who is on the Lord's side and treat them that way. Help us to do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.